yeah, it's maddening. And, you know, for an observer, and I can't imagine being a fan of one of these teams just because you, you know, maybe you want to throw in the towel and then they win a couple games and you're like, okay, well, I guess we won't just, you know, play for the trade deadline or whatever. So, yeah, it's been remarkable, certainly.
It's time for the Sports Knot interview. Newsmakers and record breakers from around the world of sports. Join us in conversation. The latest in sports talk from the editors at sportsknot.com. And now, the Sports Knot interview.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome back to the Sports Knot interview. Evan Grote here, your host. And joining us this week on the interview is Gabe Lax, MLB reporter for USA Today, and we're happy to have Gabe here with us today. Now, our subject this week is Major League Baseball, of course, but specifically the American League and what is going on with that league right now. Gabe, we're so happy to have you join us here today. Thanks for some time.
Yeah, absolutely. Always good to get caught up, and here we are just past the halfway point, so it's all downhill from here.
Well, exactly. That's what I was going to say. By the time people hear this interview, probably tomorrow, you know, we're going to be in the month of July, which means we're a little bit past the halfway point in the year. And when I checked the standings this morning, there were only five teams who were playing 500 ball or better in the American League. Now, in all of your time that you've covered Major League Baseball, do you ever recall a time where you saw one of the leagues just so unbalanced and so lopsided?
Yeah, it's hard to recall for sure. Even before I was the only thing I can even come close analogy wise is even before I was covering baseball full time, way back in 1994, right before the strike, I believe it was the Texas Rangers who were leading the AL West with a sub 500 record. And that was the very first year of Bud Selig's wild card, which ended up not happening, of course, because the rest of the season was canceled. But it's been interesting because, you know, now we have interleague play every day, and now we have interleague play where you can have five or six series going on at one time, as opposed to like this summer stretch where they used to have many of the interleague games. And, you know, the NL has just, you know, wiped the floor with the American League in those games. And that's, you know, helped to tip the balance a good bit. I do believe only two or three teams have a better than 500 record against the National League, and that's it feels a little bit anomalous, but at the same time, there's something to be said about a group of teams that can never play consistently enough to string together a decent enough winning streak to get back to 500. You know, you get on a 2-3 game run, and then you lose 3 out of 5 and get right back to where you were. There's so many teams like that. When you talk about the Blue Jays and you talk about the Orioles, and the Tigers, not even really threatening to get above water, but they show some encouraging signs, then they toggle right back. You know, the Mariners, same kind of thing. Thought they were in the clear for a minute. Now, not so much. The A's, maybe not as ready for prime time as we might have thought. So, yeah, it's maddening. And, you know, for an observer, and I can't imagine being a fan of one of these teams just because you know, maybe you want to throw in the towel and then they win a couple games and you're like, okay, well, I guess we won't just, you know, play for the trade deadline or whatever. So yeah, it's been remarkable, certainly.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Yankees fan and it's frustrating and they're one of the better teams in the league right now, but losing 8 of their last 10, I was kind of hoping they would pull away from the pack, but just hasn't happened yet. But do you think this is more of a sign that the league as a whole is just down? Or are we seeing more parity than we've ever seen before?
I lean a little bit toward the latter, just because I believe 25 out of 30 teams are within 5 or 6 games. That was what the number was a couple days ago. I'm pretty sure that's still the case. You know, so that's why I lean a little bit toward parity. But within that, to the point of it being down, you know, you wonder how many of these teams using their internal, you know, sort of metrics and calculations and determining how much they want to spend and where they want to spend it. You know, it seems like, is everybody playing to land between 83 and 88 games? You know, because there really aren't any super teams per se. The Dodgers have pretty much played like one, as we might have anticipated. Of course, the other one that you might have figured was the Mets, and that's been a disaster. It goes to show, you know, money can't always buy, you know, happiness and success in baseball. But I do believe that we're seeing not many teams that are tanking, that are, you know, intentionally being bad, and or in a particularly down cycle. And, you know, the Chicago White Sox are a pretty good example of that. 121 losses just 2 years ago. Now they're 44-39. So to me, that really indicates the strength of the league with regard to the bottom not being so bad. And so many of the teams that are bad, you wouldn't have really anticipated them trying to be that way. You know, the Red Sox had high hopes for the year. The Royals didn't think they were terrible. You know, the Mets, obviously, it turned into a debacle. They had World Series dreams. And then you look at the San Francisco Giants and just a total mess on and off the field and way up the track when it comes to all of the division and wild card races. So it's, you know, I think what you're seeing is at least a little bit of a concerted effort and a little bit of teams coming out of a really down cycle to contend. So, yeah, I'd rather the quality of play be better. I'd rather be there be more than two or three good teams, teams you feel really, you know, really strongly about that they're going to be there at the end of the year. But, you know, this is what we have, and it's not the worst thing. At least it makes every game at least marginally interesting and relevant. We'll see if that's still the case come August and September.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the White Sox is one of the team who's playing better in the league. And I'm glad you brought them up because I want to ask you about them. What's been the bigger surprise to you thus far this season? The fact that teams like Toronto and Seattle are playing below 500, or that the White Sox are currently leading the division?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I was very curious myself. and just a minor plug here, by the time this airs, hopefully my piece on the White Sox will be up tomorrow. Really interesting. They're, you know, there's so much attention early on Munetaka Murakami, and for very good reason, you know. And, you know, he 20 home runs and I think 57 games. But they are now 14-12 ever since he went out with a hamstring injury. So obviously a lot more going on there than just, you know, bringing the right guy over for, you know, instant powerful impact from Japan. Really interestingly put together team, a combination of, you know, the Garrett Crochet trade. Now everybody from that deal is up and contributing and pretty much an everyday player. Some pretty good little draft hits. And then the slow kind of development of other players, most notably Miguel Vargas, at 26 years old, really kind of coming into his own, possibly an all-star this season. And that's kind of what's happened with the pitchers as well. When you look at Sean Burke and Davis Martin, who won't leap off the page in any sense in terms of stuff or potential or top prospect, this or that, but they absolutely get it done. They've really learned how to mix up their pitches nicely and effectively. And then the one guy that I found really intriguing this week was Tristan Peters, a center fielder who was just designated for assignment by the Rays in December. The White Sox gave him a few bucks to have him, and he's turned out to be an excellent player, really good center fielder. He's tied for fourth among major league center fielders and outs above average. He's getting on base at a 343 clip, big athletic guy. There's a lot of pieces like that that you just really didn't see coming, either with what was to be projected of guys or everything else. So it's all really come together nicely for them. And it's dangerous. They have the courage of their convictions now. They believe they're pretty good. The question is, if those kinds of players, you know, the Sam Antonacci's and the Peterses and the Vargas's Colson Montgomery and Braden Montgomery, the latter just recently brought up to the major leagues, you know, how sustainable will those guys be over 162 games? Just because some of them have been up so briefly that they haven't really had to adjust much to the league adjusting to them. You know, will they be able to adjust back when that inevitably occurs? I think that will probably be the difference between them coming back to the pack and closer to 500 and possibly winning the American League Central.
Yeah, they really have been one of the great stories this year in baseball. Now, when you look at the landscape of the American League, which one of the underperforming teams, whether it's Detroit or Toronto, Seattle, even Houston, you could throw into that group, and maybe you have someone else in mind, but which one of those underperforming teams do you feel like is maybe just one trade away or maybe the return of a player from the injured list? Who could make a run here in the second half?
Yeah, no, that's there's no shortage of teams in that bucket for sure. I kind of put the Blue Jays at the top of that list, and probably top two or three most maddening teams when we're talking about what they've done and haven't done. But they got so close to 500; they were right there. And then Texas comes in, sweeps them in four games last week, which I'm sure has thoroughly flummoxed everybody up north. Just in terms of we just thought we had a good team going, and not so much. But much like Murakami, Kazuma Okamoto has been fantastic. He's pretty much their best player right now. I cannot believe that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has not hit a home run at Rogers Center this year. Like, that's just insane. And has seven home runs overall, So it's a befuddling team. I think much of their performance will get better. They do have so much invested in this club, just on the field, the window they're in right now, coming off a championship, 42 to 44,000 fans a night, filling that place. So they're going to feel a very strong, need, I think, to keep that going and make a move at the trade deadline. When let's just assume that they'll be one of several teams within, above or below 2 to 4 games of 500. If that's the case, I think they're going to step on the gas just because they feel like they owe it to this group of guys and they owe it to the fan base for sure. So, they should come up above water. And especially, if Dylan Cease can turn his stuff into outs and innings. He's got some of the best stuff in the major leagues. He's still blowing batters away, but having trouble getting through 5-6 innings just because his pitch count gets run up so quickly because he strikes a lot of guys out. He struggles with the base on balls a little bit. He's the kind of guy, you sign him to a $200 million plus contract, the kind of guy that you want to make sure he gives some of the bullpen a night off, to get into the sixth inning, to get into the seventh inning. So, if he's able to harness his stuff a little more and be a little more efficient, that will go a long way as well. So interesting to see what they're going to do in the second half.
Yeah. And one of the other things you mentioned there in that response was you mentioned the trade deadline and maybe Toronto making a move there. How do you think what's going on, in the American League, how will that affect the trade deadline? Because, you have a lot of teams, as we've discussed, hovering around that 500 mark. I would imagine that front offices now have a tough decision to make whether they believe they can actually go ahead and go forward and make a deal, try to compete, get to the playoffs this year, or if they should just kind of, look to rebuild for following seasons. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine the trade deadline being anything less than pretty disappointing relative to what we're used to year in and year out, where, there's a, not only a big crop of trades, but also some really big names moving. There's so many teams in it, and how many teams want to risk that, jeopardizing that to, maybe spin it into a couple of prospects down the road. And additionally, and this is where the Tigers enter the picture. How do the Tigers assess themselves? They've put so much into this season. They know they're losing Tarek Skubal. Do you double down and try to surround him with more and try to get back into this thing, especially in a, pretty underwhelming division for the most part? Or do you bite the bullet and maybe deal him? The other flip side of that is, Tarek Skubal hasn't exactly been dominating, so it's not that perfect scenario they imagine where, okay, we're either going to take a really good shot at the World Series or we're going to get a king's ransom for this guy, and right now it seems like neither are going to be the case, so it's the good thing is that the trade deadline is August 3rd this year. We're still 5 or so weeks away. So, that's enough time for Skubal to make a few starts, to show his past form, for the Tigers to play better if they, have designs on keeping him and trying again. But still a runway to, for things to happen. But right now it's looking really muddled for the league in general, the deadline in general, and then for individual teams, zooming in a little bit, such as the Tigers.
Yeah. Well, the All-Star break is just a couple of weeks away. Maybe that's what these teams in the American League need. They just need a little bit of rest, maybe. Who knows? We'll see. Gabe Lax, everybody, USA Today. Follow him on X at Gabe Lax. And you heard him plug the story coming out tomorrow, USA Today, about the White Sox. Give it a read and make sure you follow all of his work. He does a great job. Gabe, thank you so much again. We love having you on, and we appreciate all your time today. Thank you so much, and happy 4th of July.
Yes, absolutely. Have a good long weekend, and we'll get at it soon for sure.